This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن محمدًا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمدٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثةٍ بدعة، وكل بدعةٍ ضلالة، وكل ضلالةٍ في النار. All praise belongs to Allah, the Most High and Most Merciful. We thank Him and we seek His protection and aid and forgiveness. And we ask Him to save us from the evil of ourselves and the sins that we commit. Indeed, whosoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whosoever Allah leads astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and messenger. The best of speech is the book of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of religious matters are those that are innovated, and every religious innovation is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance, and every misguidance will be in hellfire. Amma ba'd. Allah Azza wa Jalla had made children part of the beauty of this life. Al-malu wal-banun, zinatul hayatul dunya. They are a pleasure that we seek. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ. It's a pleasure that we seek and we get fulfillment from. And we are, because of that, also care for, care about, and anxious over. That is, when you have a child, it's a responsibility. Yes, sometimes we need to be taught that it's a responsibility that we need to take care of. But also biologically, emotionally, psychologically, you feel them to be an extension of you, and so you feel responsible for them. And there is this sense of anxiety about them that is also natural. And Allah Azza wa Jal uses that to bring a point in the Quran. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن تَكُونَ لَهُ جَنَّةٌ مِّن نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ لَهُ فِيهَا مِن كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ وَأَصَابَهُ الْكِبَرُ وَلَهُ ذُرِّيَّةٌ ضُعَفَاءُ فَأَصَابَهَا عِصَارٌ فِيهِ نَارٌ فَاحْتَرَقَتْ. He says, which among you would like to have a garden of date trees and fruits, grapes and fruits, and their rivers flowing everywhere? Then also he says, but he's old and he has weak, dependent children. And at that age, when he is in most in need, he says something happens to his land and it destroys it. It burns everything out. He says, which among you would like to be this person? And Allah Azza wa Jal brings this example for those who depend on other than Allah Azza wa Jal, worship other than Allah, or do things not for Allah but for somebody else. When you need help, you're not going to find it. Just like that person who in his old age, having children that he worries about, turns to his garden, but his garden gets destroyed. But in this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal recognizes and He conveys the anxiety that we have and we feel about our children. And the question here for today's khutbah is, what is the best way to take care of them? And the answer is having taqwa. The holistic, complete meaning of having taqwa is the best way to take care of your children. Allah Azza wa Jal, when He says in the Quran, إِنَّهَا اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ ذُرِّيَّةً بَعْضُهَا مِنْ بَعْضٍ. He says Allah had selected Adam and Nuh and the family of Ibrahim and the family of Imran above the rest. He says, descendants from each other, progeny from each other. And that means, first, that they're biologically related. But not only that, it also means that in taqwa, in religion, they are also related. They confirm and they support each other. They bequeath, they give out to their children that create this religion. So ba'duha min ba'd means not only biologically, as you pass on your biological genetic information to your children, you need to pass on taqwa to them. And taqwa of the two is the more important one. Because without taqwa, this existence is empty and meaningless. So after you give birth to them, you'd have to be thinking about, well, am I only a biological father, or am I also a religious, spiritual father to them? So when you have taqwa, then you are in the best position to take care of your children, for Allah Azza wa Jal to take care of them. And this happens in two main ways. One I would call the invisible way, and the other is the more visible way. The invisible way is Allah taking care of your children because of your taqwa in ways that you do not predict or foresee, in ways that escape your plan. And we have the story in Surah Al-Kahf, when Allah Azza wa Jal sends Al-Khadr and Musa alayhim as-salam, and the last part of their mission, which was to keep that wall standing. And when Al-Khadr explains what he has done to Musa alayhi salam, that yes, it did belong to two orphans in the city, and underneath it is a treasure that belongs to them. And so he wanted to preserve this so that when they grow up, they can retrieve this money of theirs, because they're orphans. The important cause mentioned here behind their act, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا, and their father was pious. Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us through narrating this story to us is that the piety of the father was a cause for the preservation of the children. Now the father, we can assume it's the father or somebody else in the family that they did their part financially. They collected money for the children, taking care of their well-being, their future, etc., etc. And maybe they buried this underneath that wall to save it, feeling perhaps that their end is near. So financially they did their part. But no matter what you do, no matter how much you invest, worldwise, your efforts could come short. You may not live long enough to take care of your children. You may not have the power and the foresight to be able to take care of them. But then if you have taqwa, Allah will complement, and Allah Azza wa Jal will cover areas that you could not cover. So I'm collecting and I'm saving for my children. I'm putting them in the best schools. I'm bringing them the best tutors. I'm buying them everything that they need in the hope that when they're as adults, when they grow up as adults, they'll be the best that they can be. But you have no control over that. What is the thing that can control them, can steer them in the right direction? Who, if you were to pass on today, if you were to die today and you have young children, who will take care of them? Here comes the answer from that incident to tell you that if you are pious, Allah defends you, doesn't He? And Allah yudafi'u 'anil ladina amanu, Allah defends the believers, so Allah defends you. But also everything that is dear to you, including your children. So it happens in invisible ways that you will not be able to foresee. But if you are really a person of taqwa, or if you are really worried about your children, the best insurance policy that you can buy is not an actual insurance policy, but be good with Allah Azza wa Jal so that He could save your children for you.
What is on the border between the visible and the invisible is to make dua for your children. Before they are born, after they are born, when they are adults, whether they are on the right path or not, whether you are talking or they are talking to you or not, to never and never cease making dua for your children, because it's an accepted dua. Dua al-walidi li-waladihi. It's an accepted dua. And you know that when you make dua for your children, it really comes from your heart. So you never give up. It doesn't matter what they're doing, how committed or uncommitted they are, but you keep making dua to them. And you will see that the prophets of Allah in the Quran, they made dua for their children. وَاجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. Protect me and my children from the worship of idols. وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. And fix my progeny for me. حَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ. Grant us from our spouses, from our mates and children, a pleasure to our eyes. So seek that dua that you find in the Quran and repeat it, and also use your own words and keep making dua for your children. Some of us, their children die before them, but even after their death, you keep making dua for them because you're positioned to be about the best person who can make dua for your child. As we want them also to be pious enough so that when we die, they remember us with their good dua. But now, there are also more visible ways where your taqwa helps your children. And the first of that is that you are the best and the first teacher to your child. And how you want them to be is exactly how you're supposed to act. Close your eyes and say to yourself, whether you have children or are yet to have them, there's still a thought in your head. Say to yourself, how do I want them to be? How do I want them to behave? What type of person would I want my child to be when he's young, when she's young, or when they're older? And then open your eyes and say, well, that's exactly how I'm supposed to be. Because they will look at you as an example, as a teacher, and they will mimic and produce whatever you are doing. Your behavior is going to teach them what's important and what is not. Your behavior is going to tell them what kind of people they are supposed to be. And your preaching cannot contradict your actions, because they're going to look at what you're doing rather than what you are saying. You can't expect them to pray on time when you don't pray on time. They're not going to take you seriously. You don't expect them to dress modestly if you don't dress modestly. They're not going to listen to you. You don't expect them to have adab when we don't exhibit adab. You want them to have good manners. Teach them good manners by practicing good manners. You don't want them to lie. You don't want them to lie. You shouldn't lie. You want them to be on time, that you should always be on time. You want them to behave in the masjid, you should behave in the masjid. You want them to learn the religion of Allah, and we're going to come to this point. You want them to learn the religion of Allah, you're supposed to learn the religion of Allah as well. You're supposed to do these things. Some of us want the best for our children, but somehow exclude ourselves from it. We bring them to the masjid, and I talked about this before. We bring them to the masjid. You study, you attend the halaqah, you learn this and that, but not me. We drop him off in the masjid as babysitting, and then we leave. Or bring them to the halaqah. I heard this repeatedly, especially among the sisters. They come to the masjid during halaqahs. I hope that's not happening during the khutbah. But during halaqahs, and they talk. And they're busy with their phones. And when your child sees that, what are you telling them about the halaqah? What are you telling him about esteeming the words of Allah Azza wa Jal and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you're coming in the masjid simply to talk and socialize? If that's the purpose, just stay at home. But if you come to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal and you want your child to sit and listen and appreciate what they're listening to, You have to do the same thing, sitting beside them. From an early age, teach them an adab in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. Teach them the importance of what is being said. Talk to them about it when you leave. Make them feel that this is valuable so that they continue to esteem it later on. So taqwa means, first of all, an application and a model. Anything that I want them to be, I should be. The second part of taqwa is that we need to learn our religion in depth and in detail. How are you going to behave? How are you going to follow something that you do not know? How can you teach something that you do not know? So if I'm the first teacher, the first role model, I need to learn my religion. And more so in non-Muslim countries than in Muslim countries. Because in a non-Muslim country, you're going to be asked by your own children, why are we doing this while everybody else is not? That's not a question that you're going to receive in a majority Muslim country, because everybody does the same thing. So it's not in question. But in a non-Muslim country where you're the minority doing this thing and everybody else is not, in fact, everybody else could be attacking and criticizing this thing that you're doing. It's natural for them to wonder, well, why then are we doing it? Why are we praying? Why are we fasting? Why are we wearing the hijab? Why and why and why? And if you don't have the answer, then you can look ignorant. If you don't have the answer, you're going to then only stress obedience. Just pray, just fast, just do this. And they're not going to feel convinced or motivated to do anything, because the only thing that you and I will do is shout at them. Is demand obedience, is demand compliance, without them understanding why they should do any of these things and the motivation that lies behind it. We need to teach our children, and that's part of our taqwa as well, as we need to teach them about the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, we need also to teach them about the love of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. If the only thing that they can hear or are hearing from us, do this or you'll burn in hellfire. Do this or Allah will send punishment upon you. Their relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal is simply going to boil down to a relationship of fear. And it's good to be afraid at times, but it cannot be the only relationship you have with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Only that of fear. I'm afraid of Allah all the time. Where is the love of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? Where is doing something because I'm seeking heaven? Where is doing something because I'm thanking Allah for the ni'mah that He had given me? Where is doing something because this is the best that I can do because that's Allah's command? Here, taqwa means understanding our religion in detail. And this is why, as an adult, if you decide to have a child, and I know some of us are not ready for it until it hits us, but since you have decided and since this is a responsibility that Allah had given to you and will ask you about it, you need to be regular in learning your religion and more committed to it and serious about it, because Allah Azza wa Jal will ask you about that amana. And don't think just basically dropping them in the masjid and picking them up later or having them somebody teach them while you abdicating all or most responsibility is going to be enough. If you are not responsible for them, you'll end up paying the price later. When you ask them, when you want them to do what's right, and they stop listening to you and rebel. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us of those who hear these things, take them to heart and apply them. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Part of it also is understanding their reality, the context that they're living in. When they go to school, what do they learn? What is trending? What are they currently talking about? What problems are they facing? If I've come from a different culture and there's a gap between me and them, I try. It becomes my responsibility, not somebody else's. My responsibility to try to bridge this gap so that I will understand them, so that when I talk to them, I can talk to them in relevant ways, in ways that they'll be able to understand. Talk to them about things that will solve issues and problems that they are facing. I won't be preaching something theoretical while in practice they're suffering from something else. So I need to understand that reality, and I need to bridge that gap. So also part of my taqwa is that when I'm giving advice to anybody, including my children, I need to understand their reality. What is it that they can apply, and what is not possible, and how can they best apply it? So if I want also the best for my children, I must understand where they live and their problems and try to address these problems as well. And for that, we need to talk to them. We need to talk to them maybe more than your father and your mother had talked to you. But you need to establish that communication and see, here is a space, here is a person that you can always come back to. You can always share with me what is troubling you. We can find a solution together, and they must feel close enough to you. And that again is the value of adab. The value of good character. My father, my mother will listen to me. They will try to understand me. They will offer solutions. They're not going to bark commands at me, demanding complete obedience, perfection, not realizing the difficulties that I go through. No. Open these channels and talk to them. And sooner or later, even if they go through phases where they don't want anything to do with you, sooner or later, they'll come back and they'll take advantage of the opportunity of talking to you. Be the person who's imparting wisdom, giving them compassionate advice, guiding them to the way, and at all time explaining that you love them and you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love them. You love them and you want the best for them. And it's ultimately up to them whether they decide to do this or that. But no matter what, you're going to always keep making dua for them. So finally and lastly, you are well aware, as the Shaykh has announced before the khutbah, of the massive floods that are taking place and devastating many lives in Somalia. So ask Allah Azza wa Jal first of all to bring relief to that area and any other area that is suffering. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal that to make that expiation of sins, a removal of sins, and Allah Azza wa Jal to replace that with His forgiveness and with His bounties, and to make us eligible for His forgiveness and for His bounties. And then our responsibility then is try to offer help as much as we can. If we have absolutely nothing, then nothing less than your dua. Whenever you see somebody suffering anywhere, and these sufferings and problems are far beyond what we can do, but at least if and every time you see them, you just make a small dua for that person, a small dua for that nation, then at least we've taken some positive steps. But beyond that, if you can spare something, and if you can give something, then Allah Azza wa Jal will bless you for it. And teach also, let's connect it to the khutbah, teach your children also to care about others as well. Have them donate some of their allowance or give them some of that money and say, I want you to donate for that cause, so that they're always connected to their brothers and sisters, no matter where they come from, no matter what their background, no matter what their color is, as long as they are Muslims, they always feel that person is my brother and that person is my sister. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal Rabbil Alameen to teach us our religion and to put in our heart the love for this religion and to make us of those who learn it well and to teach it well. We ask Him Rabbil Alameen to grant us pious children and to help us raise them as pious children and to make them pious children and unite us with them in Jannah. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. And protect us from all the fitan and protect our descendants from all the fitan, that which we know about and that we do not know about. We ask Rabbil Rabbil Alameen to teach us our religion and make us an example and good role models. Wa ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, bless our families, bless our community, and bless the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to send his mercy upon the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to unite them upon his book and upon his sunnah, the sunnah of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make the truth clear to us and to every all other Muslims, and to make falsehood clear to us and all other Muslims, and help us to follow the truth and to avoid falsehood. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins, to bring life back to our hearts and make our hearts flexible and obedient to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, that we would love you more than anyone else and fear you more than anyone else and seek from you more than anyone else. We ask you, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, to increase Iman in our hearts, grant us a sincere repentance, and make Jannah our final abode and protect us from hellfire. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulubi thabbit qulubana ala dinik. Allahumma ya musarrif al-qulubi sarrif qulubana ala ta'atik. اللهم نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل، ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل. اللهم نسألك الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم، ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. اللهم نسألك من خير ما سألك عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث، أصلح لنا شأننا كله، ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. وأقم الصلاة.